Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming to celebrate Christ with us today. My name is Eddie and my wife, my hot dark chocolate. Just saying. Of 19 years, right here with me, Martha, my bride. We get the pleasure of serving the pastors. As I like to say, we are 18 locations, one church. We are one family. And around this city, around this country, in Juba, South Sudan, and around the world, online, we have the privilege of serving God. And it's a privilege that God has called us here where we are as Watoto Church. Now, our team leaders and our senior pastors, Julius and Vanita Rodlonio, send their greetings. They cannot wait to come back here. And your campus pastor here at downtown, I believe next week should be here with you, Pastor James Lalobo. I cannot wait for that. But while they are away, I'm warming the throne for them. Let's pray together right now, even as we get into God's word. Lord, I'm grateful for this opportunity to open your word. I thank you that through your word you speak to us. I thank you that your word is your will for our lives. And through your word we get to know not only who we are, but what we are here to do. And I pray that today as your word is being preached, may it be received. And I know when we receive that word, it bears fruit in our lives. On this journey, you've called us as Watoto Church to participate on the Great Commission to see cities and nation healed, all for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, I do pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, today we conclude our sermon series that we've been going through the last couple of weeks, the Spirit-Empowered Church. Now, the conclusion does not mean that actually we stop being that kind of church that is Spirit-empowered. Now, if you missed any of those messages, you can find them all online. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And I'm excited about the next sermon series. Let me let you know what it's about. We are going to be talking about Spirit-empowered discernment. We live in a day, we live in a world where there's lots of fake, false teachings, cults, false prophecies, and they are all around, just as they were in the days of the apostles. The beautiful thing is that God has not left us helpless. Through his word, we can learn how to discern to know what is true. Jesus said, "The truth that you know will set you free." Now today, I want to talk to you about the Spirit-empowered church that the world cannot ignore is a church that is unashamed of the gospel. And here's a question that we need to think about briefly. When was the last time you were silent about your faith? When you knew you was supposed to be public about it. You know that feeling? You know you should have spoken, but you just stayed silent. And yet, there was no persecution. You were not threatened in any way. You see, we do not want to live with that feeling in our hearts each and every day. The Apostle Paul, through his word, through the word that was spoken to him by the Lord, shows us that we must be unashamed of the gospel of our Lord. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 7, he notes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God, God's character, is revealed from faith for faith. And this righteousness is received by faith. That's what Paul is saying. And then he quotes from Habakkuk, "For the righteous shall live by faith." Now, Rome in Paul's day was the most powerful city on earth. And the most powerful thing that Rome could do for you, worse than prison and sometimes death, was public humiliation. Shame was used as a weapon in the Roman Empire. So when Paul writes to the church in Rome, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," the people that heard those words would have felt the weight of those words that we barely register today. Paul boldly identifies himself with a man who was shamed, with Jesus from Nazareth, who was crucified outside of Jerusalem. And Paul is saying, "I'm not ashamed to be identified with a man that you shamed on the cross." What made Paul courageous? And what can we learn from Paul today? Because I believe that whatever made Paul courageous is the same thing that can make us courageous. Because Paul was not a superman. Paul was a human being just like us. But something shifted in his life that we are going to explore through Scripture. Now, I have three reasons why Paul was unashamed of the gospel. And these three reasons, I believe, are the same reasons that should make us unashamed of the gospel of Christ. Number one, the gospel is the power for salvation. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." Now watch what Paul does not say. Paul does not say that the gospel contains. He says the gospel is the power of God. In other words, the gospel is not a sudden force that possesses us. Then he goes on to identify this power in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24. Paul says, "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Two places in the New Testament where Paul writes the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. Meaning that the power for salvation is not a force that is impersonal. It is a person that has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all God's people say amen to that. Because the gospel is the story of Christ's birth, death, resurrection, and his lordship. Remove Jesus from the gospel and you don't have a gospel at all. You see, the gospel has power to do what no other power can do. Political power can change laws, but not hearts. Military power can force compliance, but not transformation. Education can inform the minds, but cannot regenerate the soul. But the gospel saves. The gospel transforms sinners from the inside out. When Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," he's not just making a theological argument. It is true. But he is explaining what he had experienced himself, because Paul experienced the power of the gospel and it changed his life. In Acts chapter 9, we see Paul, who thought he was serving God and was zealous for his religion. And he thought God had called him to arrest, imprison, and persecute the church. Along his mission to arrest more Christians in Damascus, he encounters Jesus. The gospel became real in that encounter. Changed his life. Once a persecutor, he became the messenger of the gospel, and he would later lay down his life for the same gospel that he persecuted. What shifted? Jesus, that the gospel proclaims, changed his life and gave him something that religion and every other thing could not do. The gospel transforms lives. Now you might be here and say, but Pastor, I wish Jesus could also meet me on the road to Kalerwe. Kalerwe is one of the markets in Kampala. I wish I could have an encounter like Paul. Now, true, you might not have an encounter with Paul. Possibly you'll never do that. But let me tell you this. If you are a believer, you've already had an encounter with the risen Jesus. You have been forgiven of your sins. Jesus has changed your heart. He has given you new desires. Every day you live with peace, knowing that you are heaven bound. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus has transformed your life. You too have a story. You have been transformed by the power of the gospel of Christ. You may not explain it theologically, but you are a witness to the power of the gospel. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen to Jesus right now. Like the blind man in John chapter 9 who said, "One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." Amen. You see, Paul understood this very well. In the letter to Timothy, he says, "I'm the worst of all sinners, but God has been gracious to me." Because Paul understood that what took place in his life was not something that he initiated, something supernatural changed him. He was a persecutor of the church, and then later he's laying down his life. Something shifted. Jesus changed him. Paul had witnessed firsthand seeing the power of the gospel transform communities. In one of his missionary journeys to Ephesus, he preaches the gospel and the whole city abandons witchcraft and they come to Jesus Christ. Nothing else can change people's lives that way apart from the power of the risen Jesus Christ. If you are a witness to the gospel, say amen to that. You see, a transformed life is the greatest apologetic or argument for the power of the gospel. You don't have to go to theology school to explain what God has done for you. "I was blind, but now I see. I did not go to school to change my desires. Something supernatural happened to me." That is the power of the gospel that changes lives. Can you give glory to God this morning? Amen. Don't be ashamed of your story. You have a testimony. You have something like, "I was blind, but now I can see, and it had nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus." That is a story that is worth sharing. All of us these days in social media, we have status updates. Why don't you status update what God has done in your life this week and tell the world that there is a God in heaven who does something like nobody else can do. He heals the sick and opens the eyes of the blind, and I was one of them. And then somebody's going to ask, "Tell me your story." That is an open window to share the gospel with them. So the gospel is not just a message to believe. It is a power to be experienced. That's the first reason we should be unashamed, because it has power to transform our lives. You have been transformed. Share your story of transformation, all for the glory of God. Secondly, Paul was unashamed, and we should be unashamed of the gospel because the gospel has no rivals. In 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24, Paul writes, "For the Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we who have been transformed by the gospel, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly or foolishness to the Gentiles.
but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, every culture has a story of salvation. Every culture has an idea on how the world can be fixed once and for all. In Paul's day, there are two mindsets. One was the Jewish mindset. He says, the Jews look for power. The Jews expected a Messiah who was powerful and a political conqueror. They knew that their salvation was through a political king. And so when Jesus shows up on the cross, they are stumbled. Because for them, salvation does not come through the cross. It comes through power. A political party, a political system, a leader who would just come and sort our world once for all. Make Uganda great forever. They thought that if we change a political party, a political leader, our world is going to be saved once and for all. True politics is not a bad idea, actually, but it's not ultimate. What is a rival? A rival is anything we look for to, for what only God can do. The gospel has no rival because the gospel does something no other thing can do. A rival is anything we look for. It's a substitute. It is a fake savior. We look to these rivals for security, significance, and salvation, but they deliver emptiness at the end of the day because they were never meant to be ultimate. What about for the Greeks? The Greek mindset was wisdom. A new idea. Let's think ourselves to success. Education, let's be educated. Science, therapy, self-improvement, personal growth. Best, be the best version of who, of you. You've had that. Now, all those things are not bad, but they're not ultimate. You see, a rival, as I said earlier, is a substitute that can do good to us. But what we do wrong is that we think they are God to us. They are limited. They don't truly save. So yes, we need right political leaders. We need good education. We need therapy where we need it. We need to grow ourselves personally. All that is good, but it is not God. It cannot save us. Because only the gospel diagnoses the real problem of humanity. And only the gospel provides a solution that addresses man's greatest problem. Because at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It's not out there. It is inside here. Our deepest problem is sin and separation from God. And our only hope is the gospel of the crucified Savior. You see, the gospel deals with sin and breaks the power of death and brings us back to God because we all long for significance. We long for meaning. We long for purpose and all that comes from the God who created us. So don't trust in substitutes that leave you empty. Don't give them the place of God. They are good, but they are not God. They can provide some good, but do not save your soul. They won't give you meaning. They won't give you purpose. They won't give you significance. They won't give you eternal life. Only Jesus, preached through the gospel, can do that. And that is why we should be unashamed. So what are you leaning on today? And you've given that thing the place of God in your life. When I get there's a place called there. And I've never gotten there. When I grow up,
everything's going to be all right. When I get married, when I get promoted, when I marry my dream husband, wife, when I get the visa, because the grass is greener over there. And we think that is ultimate. You get there, then you find actually there's another place called there. And there is not what you see on the horizon. There is located in your heart. There is a God-sized hole in our hearts. And nothing man-made or God-made can fulfill us. Only Jesus, that the gospel proclaims, heals us from the inside out. Paul understood that these rivals leave us empty. They leave us disappointed. They leave us at a place of despair. That is why he was unashamed to say, the only solution for the world, the only hope for the world is Jesus that the gospel proclaims. That is why he was unashamed. Friends, you could be in this place and actually you've put your weight on something that does not fulfill you. The people around you at your workplace, wherever you are, they are looking for that thing called there, but you understand that the gospel addresses that. That is why we must open our mouths every day and proclaim this gospel, because it heals us at a heart level. It addresses our greatest need. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Open your mouth. Invite people to Jesus. The gospel worked then in Paul's day. The gospel still works today. Then lastly, the gospel has no limits. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Mark that word, everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and to the Greek also. Now, Paul is writing to the church in Rome. This church was diverse. It had Jews, it had Greeks. In other words, Jews were two people groups. It had men and women. It had slaves and free. Now, when I say these things, they may not carry the same weight in this century because we don't understand what it means. In Paul's day, Jews and Greeks never sat together. There was a wall of separation. Slaves and free never shared a table. Men and women never worshiped together. There was real separation. And so when Paul is preaching, and now it's a diverse church, it means something miraculous has happened. And what do you know what that is? The gospel had broken down every wall of hostility. But before, the walls were broken. But even when the walls had been broken, there were still problems within the church. In Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15, we see that though they were sitting together, these Christians, diverse, they still had issues with each other. They were not comfortable still. They questioned each other. And then Paul commands and gives them a solution. It's not like talk to each other more, have some peace talks. You know, he says the gospel is the solution. Watch this. Romans 14, 17. He says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating, because food was a big issue in this church. There were Jewish people who only ate food that is kosher. I think that's the right word. And there were Gentiles like Ugandans. We eat everything. Okay, like Chinese. I think they're the ones who eat everything. And so for them, they believe they cannot eat this kind of food and they are meant to do life together. So they come, and when they come for church service, it's potluck. Everybody carries something to eat. They place it on the same table.
They're like,
we can't sit together because food is important to us.
So Paul is saying, for the kingdom of God, what God is building, what God is doing in this world, is bigger than your preferences, food or drink. But righteousness, right standing before God, that is a gift to those that believe in Him. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then he continues to preach the gospel in verse 7 of chapter 15. He says, accept one another, therefore, just as Christ accepted you. He didn't say accept one another when some of you stop eating that food. When some of you measure up, you look like us. When finally you also quit your habits, I will accept you. Say, no, no. Accept one another as Christ has accepted you. How did Christ accept you? While you are still a sinner. You see, Jesus does not accept us on the basis of what we've done. We come as we are. And as we relate with Him and His people, He changes us. In other words, accept one another, not based on your preferences, just like I've accepted you. I did not put rules of acceptance for you to become a Christian. Don't put any rules and walls between your brothers and sisters in the faith. What breaks these walls down? The gospel. Accept one another. You see, Jesus did not come to create separate groups. He came to create one people group, one church, one Savior, one cross, one family. You see, the gospel is what tears down what we try to build that separates us from one another. You see, these walls exist even today as they existed in Paul's day. Number one, we have tribal walls. We have cultural walls. The isms that are plaguing our world today, those are walls. But the gospel says we are one in Christ. Paul says that there's neither Greek, Jew, slave, free, male, female. We are one in Christ. So why build walls that the gospel is tearing down? That's why the gospel is powerful. That's why we must preach the gospel. It is the ultimate solution to the walls that man is building in our world that is stopping us from relating with one another. Jesus changes everything. You see, it's not bad to speak your mother tongue. Go ahead. But feeling that your tribe, your culture, your race is superior, that is not what the gospel preaches. In Christ, no tribe is central. Jesus is. This is what the world needs to hear. That's why we can't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Class and status, levels of education can be a wall. We might be sitting in this place, same sermon, same pews, but there's no convergence other than coming here. We want to form small groups that are interest-based for millionaires. Come here. For the people who live in these estates, okay? Because we know each other, we trust each other. For the educated. You see, the church, I believe the reason Jesus says you are the light of the world, he wants us to display to the world what the world longs for and finds it difficult to accomplish. In Acts chapter 19, when the world looked into the church and they saw what was happening in the church, they were amazed because they saw all these walls had been broken down. They saw Jews and Greeks sitting together and eating together, unheard of. They saw slaves and freed, masters and employees together, men and women together. When they looked on the inside, they were say, who are these kinds of people? And they said, these are little Christs. And they called us Christians.
It was the world looking inside and identifying Christians to their master. I wonder if our world, when they look at us today, they can say, they are one. They are not separated based on preferences. And that is why we as Wototo Church, it looks like God just placed us to be the church in the city, to be the church in the slums. We care for community, neighborhood, orphans and widows. Everybody is welcome because Jesus came to create one class. It's called His family. But also we build walls around people that we think are far from salvation. You see, there are some people that possibly you know in your life say, ah, can this guy get saved? I think all of us have somebody like that. You know this criminal, this addict? You know this person who has a testimony that the whole village knows? There are certain people in our lives that we write off. We're like, I don't think that individual can be saved. Maybe there are certain people groups within your community, you look at them and say, ah, no, those ones. I can preach these ones, but not these ones. These are not people. Why are we building walls around people? And yet Jesus never built a wall around us. You see, when we do that, we are quietly saying that the gospel that saved us is not powerful enough to save those kinds of people. Now, if this gospel could unite Jews and Greeks, there is no one that is beyond the power of redemption by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one is a write-off. Maybe you are here in this room, maybe you're watching online, and maybe somebody wrote you off. That's why you're not even in the room. I want to let you know you are not a write-off. Jesus died for you. You are welcome. He loves you. So, look at your circle, the people around you, not in this room, around your life. If everybody looks like you, speak like you, walk like you, earn like you, then the gospel has not transformed your relationships yet. Think of somebody possibly written off. It could be a spouse, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying that. Maybe it's for somebody in this room. Oh, think about that individual. Why don't you begin to pray for them today? Like, God, forgive me for my unbelief, but I want to trust that you are able. If you could save me, you can save them. Begin to pray for them. You see, the God is not calling us to save people. God is calling us to preach the gospel to people. Don't give up. Don't give up on these individuals. This week, pray for them and make a step towards them and let the Holy Spirit guide the whole process. Just be available. Love them just like you've been loved. Not with conditions, because Jesus did not love you with conditions. He died for you while you were still a sinner. So make a step towards these kinds of people this week. As a cell, who needs to be in your cell that you're not reaching? Leaders, cell members, let's begin to reach those people. Because yes, our small groups are for doing life together, but we also exist to impact community with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are lighthouses in the community. The gospel that united the Jew and the Greek in Rome is still powerful, and it will break down the walls that man has built. So, Paul gives us three reasons not to be ashamed of the gospel, and I believe that the same reason we should practice every day. One, it's a powerful salvation. The power to save is in the gospel, not in you. You simply are the messenger. So don't be afraid to share the gospel. You are not the power. Jesus is. Trust that as you open your mouth, God is going to empower His word. Secondly, the gospel has no rivals. Everything else we lean on to give us security, meaning, worth, purpose, instead of God, is a substitute that's going to leave us empty. Don't lean on those false substitutes today. Push them away. It's Jesus alone. You don't need supplements. Jesus is enough. And then the gospel has no limits. May God use us to break down walls that our cultures, that this world is building, because Jesus came to create one new family. Diverse, but united along this idea. There's a God who accepts us the way we are. In all this, the gospel reveals a God we can trust. A God who is not distant. A God who is not indifferent. At the cross, we see a holy God enough to judge sin, but also loving enough to save sinners. Both justice and mercy meet at the cross. This gospel I'm talking about is a person that you can trust today. Will you trust him today? As I close, I'm going to close in prayer. But before I close, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you sense God telling you today? What do you sense the Holy Spirit lay upon your heart because God speaks? I've said many things, but there's one or two things God is telling you to do. Remember, last week we said, how do we practice being with Jesus? Obey promptly. Do it now. And the more you do it, the more he entrusts you with more. Do it now. What is the Holy Spirit telling you? Do it today. Do it this week. Some of you are abandoning substitutes that are good, that you've made God, and trusting God alone. Some of you, it is going back and repenting because of the walls you have built, the things that you prefer above what Jesus has done to mend those relationships. And I think all of us, we've been called to proclaim this gospel that Paul was unashamed to proclaim. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you are believers in Christ, but along the way, Jesus has not been the center of your life. You've been leaning on substitutes to bring what only God can bring. Today, Jesus is inviting you not to try harder, but to trust him alone. Abandon the good things and trust God today. Come back to your first love. Jesus is your first love. Second, some of you are in this place, you have not trusted God as your only Savior. The good news is the gospel that we are preaching today is not asking that you save yourself. No. The righteousness that God demands is a gift that God gives to us through Jesus. It's a gift. So you don't have to clean up yourself. You don't have to have all your questions answered. You come as you are. Jesus died so you could live. He died a death you deserved. And today, he invites you to come as you are. If that is you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, I would like you to respond. And respond this way. Jesus died publicly for your sins. Would you be public in your response? Online, on air, in person. If that is you in person, would you lift up your hand today and trust God, Jesus, as your Savior? I want to pray for you. Raise your hand wherever you are. Raise your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Raise your hand upstairs, down, wherever you are. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Today is your day. Thank you. Hands raised. You walked away from Jesus because you thought he's keeping score. Today is the day. Come back home. Jesus died for you. He loves you. God bless you. Upstairs, God bless you. Online, click that link that is showing up or raise that emoji. One of our leaders is going to get in touch with you. If you're listening on air, on Power FM, send us an email, connect@ochotochurch.com. We would love to connect with you. It's an individual decision that you make, but Christianity is a life that we live together. We need each other. Lift up your hand. Anybody else before I pray? Today is your day. Come back home. Jesus loves you. Father, thank you so much for everybody in person, on air, online, who is saying yes to you. Your word is very clear that if anybody's in Christ, when they trust in you, you make them new. The old is gone. You gift us righteousness and eternal life. And I pray this day, this miracle that has happened today, I pray it's going to transform every life. And they will be unashamed of what you've done, because this is a miracle that only you can do. We celebrate them in Jesus' name, I do pray. And everybody say it a big amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@ochotochurch.com. Hey,